listening, friends. This is Abby Miller welcoming you to today's Discerning the Drift ministry program. And we hope you have been keeping up with our latest investigative series that is covering spiritual renewal weekends. We begin with the source, the root, the origin of all spiritual renewal weekends, no matter what denomination it is, what people group is putting it on, which is the Curcio. And it started in the 1940s, was begun by a gentleman who is a psychologist. He is still living as of this day. His name was Bonin, and he was a lay Catholic, and he had a desire to rejuvenate the Catholics in the area of Mallorca, Spain. So that's where we began. We went through the history and how it developed. We went through a book that helped us to understand the secular psychological impact that comes through spiritual renewal weekends, the methods and techniques that have been borrowed from psychology and has been brought into the spiritual renewal weekends, and it's always claimed that when the emotional catharsis happens, that it is a work of God. And when you go back to and study the actual methods and techniques utilized within all spiritual renewal weekends, you see that they were manufactured. They actually assisted the individuals to reach this point, the point of brokenness and despondency and then ecstatic joy, and hope, in their opinion, hopefully get the person to reach this cathartic state, where they claim that this was a Holy Spirit encounter. But we up to this point, we have said, and we will prove in the coming programs, that everything is scripted. What the people say have been written in advance and approved by the leadership. Everything to the second is planned. The food that will be fed, and it's usually junk food, and how they will close off even the element of time to the individuals there, and the loss of sleep, in other words, sleep deprivation, and so on and so forth. So we've gone through all of that, that actually lays the groundwork for individuals to come to this place of supposed Holy Spirit encounter in this emotional catharsis of sorts. So we have finished that book, and now we will begin covering up to what I'm thinking at this moment. We will begin covering three spiritual renewal weekends. Now, I may mention some along the way, but you know, basically, listening friends, they are all the same. They're just under different names and different denominations, and they're interwoven. You know, you could have people from all different denominations to go to any spiritual renewal weekend, and they will be getting the same psychological methods and techniques. So it's really not necessary for us to go through all of them, and there are like dozens of them, because you have some that are geared to the youth, and some that are geared to singles, some that are geared to married couples. Of course, you go separately. The husband goes first, then the wife goes. And of course, you have all the denominations across the board that are creating their own under their denominational title. But the basics, the rubric, the template is from the Catholic Curcio. So they're all the same with just a few tweaks here and there. They're all scripted. They're all pre-planned. And so we really just need to go through maybe three. I've chosen three. I've chosen Decalates, which is the Catholic ecumenical version, because Curcio is only for Catholics. The Decalates is actually put on by, it is a Catholic Spiritual Renewal Weekend, but it is open to all denominations, not just Catholics. Then we will go on to Walk to Emmaus, which is the Methodist version, and then we will finish up with Faith Walk, which is, as far as I know at this moment, is the newest Spiritual Renewal Weekend on the block. So we will try our best to finish with that. And I will give you some behind the scenes detailed information that by God's providence, I was able to put my hands on. By God's providence. There was no other way to explain it. It was definitely God's providence. So we will go into detail, especially in the Faith Walk Spiritual Renewal Weekend. So let me go ahead and get started with Decalates. Decalates, which is a Catholic ecumenical crucio. And friends, this is one of the vehicles of the Church of Rome that is being used to infiltrate Protestant and evangelical churches. And that goes back to the new evangelization, which started after Vatican II, and we already did a short little rabbit trail on the new evangelization of the Church of Rome. So if you want to go back and get a little refresher on that, you can. We're not going to do it again, just for time's sake. And Decalates is the source of all experiential weekends, including the Southern Baptist Faith Walk, because Crucio is like the hub, and then Decalates was the first splinter from that hub, and then everything else followed. Now, the reason why I started researching Faith Walk was because I saw a bumper sticker, and it was a Faith Walk bumper sticker, and right underneath it, it said Decalates. Well, because I had done research previous to this on the Crucia and Decalates, I knew that Decalates was an ecumenical new evangelization spiritual renewal weekend. So that kind of got the wheels in my brain turning, and I was just driven to do research on Faith Walk because of that, because I saw Decalates on the bumper sticker that had Faith Walk, because I needed to know what the connection was. So that's kind of what got us to where we are today. Now, what does Decalates mean? Well, Decalates means in colors. It has to do with a rooster. There's this little fable that says that a bunch of sweet little nuns were on a bus and they broke down, and this is in another country, and they broke down and they were praying that God sent someone to help them. And while they were waiting, there's this rooster that ran across, that walked across the road, it's folklore. You know, we don't know how much of it is true. Then, it also is referencing the rainbow, and it's also the name of a song that is popular and was popular in Mallorca, Spain. That's that little Mediterranean island, and it's part of, again, Spanish or Mexican folklore. And Decalates, just as a reminder, is interfaith. It is ecumenical. And it is a spinoff. It is a tentacle of the Roman Catholic Crucio. It is the ecumenical branch of the Roman Catholic Crucio. Now, Decalates, what they're all about is bringing in the separated brethren. Now, if you remember, I said prior to Vatican II, we were considered heretics. After Vatican II, this is 1962 to 1965, we are considered, as a former Catholic, I'm condemned, but those who were not born in the Church of Rome are considered separated brethren. So Decalates was founded as a means to ingratiate the separated brethren to the Church of Rome and usher them in. It was more like what I would say a Trojan horse, if you're familiar with that that story. Now, what I'm doing is, as my resource, I am using a printout from a Decolottes website, and it's the Decolottes Ministries of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I will read a few things from that printout just to kind of give you an overview of what they are promoting and what they are hoping to promote. So on the printout that I have, it's history. It starts with the history of Decolottes. And it begins like so. It says, Decolottes, experiencing Christ in community. Now remember the buzzwords we talked about. There's buzzwords and phrases, right? And most buzzwords and phrases today that are being used are emergent postmodern social justice. All of those can be melded together. They're branches of the same tree, if I could put it that way. Branches of the same tree. And community is one of those highly overused buzzwords. So that was one of the first things as I was reading on this website that caught my attention was the word community. Now, let me continue. It says, Decolottes, God's colors, splendid and diverse. Okay, now diversity is a big buzzword as well, not just in postmodernism and social justice, but even in the secular world, diversity is a big buzzword today. I continue. It says God's light refracted in glory through the prism. If you know what a prism is, it shows you all the different colors. You can think of it in a scientific manner. And it says the prism of different faces and creeds. And creeds. Now that basically means all different religions. That's basically what it's saying. Then it says God's Spirit energizing the body of Christ to create unity through its very diversity. That is a postmodern emergent social justice buzz phrase. Unity through its very diversity. Okay. So they say we're going to take this diverse group of people with all these different beliefs, but they're the one thing we have in common is we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ. And they just completely sidestep the idea that maybe the Jesus Christ that everybody believes in is all different Jesus Christs. There are many Jesuses out there today. There is one biblical Jesus, but there are many counterfeit Jesuses. And so what they say is, oh, if you just name the name of Jesus Christ, you are accepted. So this is the picture. Anybody who's a part of Christendom, remember what I said, the definition of Christendom is that is any people group, movement, or denomination that even mentions the name of Jesus Christ. Even if their definition of Jesus Christ is not the biblical definition, they are considered within Christendom. So they say here, all are invited. That's what they're telling you. Doesn't matter which Jesus you choose to follow. If you have a Jesus in your theology, in your doctrine, in your beliefs of your denomination or movement, you are welcome to Decolottes. I continue. So it says, you've heard of Decolottes. Now here is your invitation to experience it. Decolottes is above all an experience. An experience of Christ. Now, friends, there's all kind of Christ. There's a New Age Christ out there today. But again, that would not matter. So even a New Ager could say, well, I believe in the Christ. And they'd say, well, come on in. You are welcome. Because remember, no doctrinal absolutes, no theological absolutes. They don't talk about theology, which is knowing who God is. Defining who God is and his relationship to man. That's theology. And if you want to do it correctly, you look for the definition of theology in Scripture. And anything that deviates from that, you get rid of that whatever deviates and you stay with Scripture. But yet these people are not going to do that. You can have a full-blown New Ager walk in and say, I believe in the Christ. Well, you know, they believe in the Christ consciousness. But that wouldn't matter because they're talking about Jesus or the Christ. They would be accepted. So Decalotus is above all an experience and experience of Christ, moving in powerful ways in the midst of intimate community. That is a very monastic sitting in the silence phrase, very much so. You will see how his spirit transcends denominational and ethnic boundaries. Okay, we have no problem with ethnic. We have no problem with ethnic diversity. We have no problem with that. But we do have a big problem with denominational, crossing denominational lines and boundaries. Why? Because there's too many different gospels out there. There's too many different Jesuses out there. There's too many different ways to heaven out there. There's too many different definitions of what salvation is out there. So you see why they have to keep everything vague. They cannot discuss doctrinal absolutes or theological absolutes. They could never talk about something like infant baptism, which is nowhere in Scripture. They could never talk about that because too many of the denominational affiliations would and do practice infant baptism. Now, and the majority of people, they believe that it is salvific, or if they don't believe it's salvific, they believe that grace is imparted to that baby. So either way, that does not line up with Scripture. See, but so they're not going to talk about that. No biblical absolutes whatsoever. They just do away with those and they move forward with, we accept that you know Jesus Christ. And they don't question whether the Jesus that you know is the biblical Jesus. They don't talk about it. So let me continue. You will see, I will read this again. You will see how his spirit transcends denominational and ethnic boundaries as you and your new friends connect with Jesus. That's an emergent postmodern term. In one another. And you'll find a new freedom to love God, others, and yourself. Friends, you want to find that new freedom? You need to come to the place where you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And you need to understand that Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Scripture, is the one and only Savior, and He finished everything for you on the cross. Finished. Done. All you have to do is come to that place of brokenness and repentance, because when you realize that you are a sinner and there's nothing you can do to change that in the presence of a holy God, you will come to the cross in brokenness and repentance. You will. Because you understand that you are undone. You are without hope. And Jesus Christ is that only hope and in his finished work. Then it goes on to say, what is a Decalotes weekend like? Okay. And then it has a paragraph that makes excuses for the secrecy. And listen how they state this. Those who have attended a Decalotes weekend seldom discuss its details. Okay. Secrecy. Relax. There's nothing secret or unorthodox about what takes place. Really? You know, I would say that I found out very differently. There is secrets that take place. One of the secrets is that all of this is pre-planned. It's all scripted. Most people don't know that when they go in there. They think it's all natural and it flows based on a move of the Holy Spirit. And yet they're telling people that there is nothing secret or unorthodox. But friends, this is not true. The majority of what goes on here is unorthodox. So the secrecy is for a reason. There is a cover-up taking place, but yet they will defend what is taking place as something that is done for you so that you can be blessed. And they continue with this. Words simply don't do justice to its impact. Besides, the fewer preconceptions you bring with you, the more open you're likely to be to whatever God has in store for you. See how they twist that? They say, we're not telling you everything that's going on. We're not going to tell you anything. Because then if we told you, God wouldn't be able to work. He wouldn't be able to give you everything that you deserve. So they are limiting God. They're saying, unless you come to a place where there's secrets, then God cannot work in that area or in you, limiting God. Make no mistake, he has things planned that will be uniquely yours. See how self-centered that is? Because it's all about you. And the whole weekend, friends, is about you. And they claim that it's about God, but it's really not. It's about you. You are the center of attention, coddled, pampered, spoiled. So unlike reality, so unlike. So it's all secretive, friends, and it's all scripted. That is one of the main secrets that I know, is that it's scripted out, it's pre-planned, it's orchestrated. Let me continue. The Decalotus weekend has a theme and characteristics that give it structure. You can expect the following. The 3-day interdenominational retreat, filled with singing, praying, and praising God. Interdenominational. Now, you would have never seen that when we were discussing Curcio, because Curcio was only for the individuals that were part of the Church of Rome, that were Catholic. Now they're saying all are welcome. Interdenominational. Now, this is what the second or third time they've said this. They talk about diverse. They talk about different creeds. They talk about diversity, unity through diversity. Then they talk about it transcends denominational and ethnic boundaries. So they are really, really pushing the fact that doesn't matter what denomination you are, doesn't matter what your theology and doctrine is, you are welcome. Because they've mentioned it so many times already just in this short portion that I just read. I continue. An atmosphere of loving, accepting Christian community, there it is again, where personal stories, that's the rolos, are shared, though never forced. They have that in parentheses. Now, what do they mean by that, though never forced? Is that because they're claiming that these people are being called on just on the spot? That's all. It's all pre-planned, friends. All of the people that speak there have actually written out what they're going to say, and they have turned it in to be approved before they get up there and they say it. So keep that in mind when they keep telling you, beating the drum, that there's nothing secret going on here. So let me continue reading. He says, they said an atmosphere of loving and accepting Christian community where personal stories are shared, though never forced, confidences are honored, griefs are comforted. Now, confidences are honored. This is the scary part for me, because they might get people to divulge deep-seated secrets and memories that they have never told anyone. And when you do that, when you share something with someone, especially someone that you don't know, it's one thing to have a friend that you've had for 30 years as a confidant, and you share something with them and you know it's not going to be used against you. But to share something that is deep and deep inside of you, and it, you're the only one who knows it. This is troubling, and it can be used in a detrimental way. And then it says, griefs are comforted. So what they're going to do is they're going to get you in touch with what you may or may not be struggling or grieving over. Then it goes on, joys are celebrated. See, that's that extreme, right? Remember the extreme that we talked about? The extreme despondency and sorrow and brokenness. And then you have the exuberance and childlike behavior and laughter and giddiness. That's that psychological manipulation taking place. Then they say, and hearts are healed. Now, hearts cannot be healed through psychology. And hearts cannot be healed, friends, in 3 days. Now, can you get maybe, you know, can you feel a weight off your shoulders if you shared something, which I wouldn't share, but if you did, you might feel a little bit of that weight lifted. But the healing takes a while to happen. That's that sanctification process that happens. That's when the healing takes place. Or are there some instantaneous when you get born again? Sure, there is. But the greatest amount of healing to our hearts and our emotions and even our psyches comes through sanctification and growing in Christ and being taught by the Holy Spirit and through His Word. So it's not, there's no way that you can expect to be healed of trauma in your life in 3 days, especially if you're basing it on emotion. Then it goes on to say, it's an atmosphere of loving, accepting a Christian community, a time of being freely and lavishly served in ways that will deepen your appreciation for the family of God. In other words, they are going to spoil you, and they're going to coddle you, baby you, and if I can use a little Cajun slang, they're going to sha-sha and ta-ta you. Now, how does that prepare you for the real world when you are living in the world that is an enemy to God and doing your best not to be of the world? That will not help you to be victorious in Christ. Never will it be. Now let me continue reading. Teachings by lay leaders and clerics that emphasize piety, study, and action, and that connect biblical principles to the realities of human hearts and experiences. Now, you have to ask yourself, what are these lay leaders and clerics telling you? First of all, are they genuinely born again? And if they are, if they claim to be, what is their theology and doctrine? What are they telling you to study? I can tell you from firsthand testimony that in Church of Rome Curcio's, they study books written by Catholics from centuries ago, from mystics, church fathers that are Catholic. So what are they telling you to study? It can't be scripture, because scripture would be divisive, because they would start having to get into doctrine and theology, and that's not going to happen. Then the resource, we're on Decolores website for Ministries of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It says the following: no hidden costs and no strings attached. Well, there's no hidden cost, but there is a cost. You have to pay to go to any of these spiritual renewal weekends. I continue reading. Many people who attended Decolores weekend consider it to be a landmark in their Christian experience. Now, how can it be a landmark in your Christian experience unless it's completely based on emotions? Because it's not going to be based in scripture. It's not going to be based in doctrinal absolutes and theological absolutes. So it's got to be based on ecumenical interfaith emotions. because that's what's being offered. And psychology. Let me not forget psychology, because that's the root of all spiritual renewal weekends, from Curcio all the way to Faith Walk. It's all psychology driven methods and techniques. Let me continue. Expect to have your understanding of what church is all about expanded in a huge way. Now, friends, how can you define the church with a huge group of individuals from different denominational affiliations that have various beliefs? So how can you say that they are the church? Well, what they're talking about is the ecumenical church, the universal church, the church that is made up of all belief systems, any belief system that claims to be under the umbrella of Christianity in the realm of Christendom. Now they go on to say, when it's over, then what? Then they go into the fourth day, and they talk about the fourth day, and they said, in our way of saying it, is that after 3 days of mountaintop encounters with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now remember, this is all prefabricated. It's all orchestrated. So how do you know that the Holy Spirit was even there? Because, man, the leadership is making all the calls. They are moving all the pieces. They are controlling the time. So how can you even say that the Holy Spirit had any part of it? You know how they justify that? They claim that if you had an emotional, ecstatic catharsis or experience, then you met with the Holy Spirit. And friends, you cannot base anything on emotions, because they fade, they dissipate. I continue. The Decalotus experience doesn't come to an abrupt end, just a new phase. And then they're talking about the fourth day. Now you head back into your ordinary life with a new sense of grace, vision, and spiritual sensitivity. Do you really? If you're not grounded in scripture, if there was no scriptural basis for what was being taught to you, how can you say that you have a new sense of grace unless it's a different grace? And that you have a new sense of vision unless it's an unbiblical vision? And you have a new sense of spiritual sensitivity unless it's an unbiblical spiritual sensitivity? The fourth day is the rest of your life, is how it expresses it, lived in partnership with God and strengthened by the fellowship of believers. Now, who are they calling the fellowship of believers? They're calling everyone the fellowship of believers. Everyone. They're not saying this is the narrow road. They are talking about the wide road that leads to destruction. They are saying, if you claim to know Jesus Christ, whoever he is, whoever she is, whoever it is, then you are part of the fellowship of these believers. The Decalotus community provides ongoing support with regular monthly meetings. It's called Second Celebration Sunday, discussions and small reunion groups. And in other words, you have a family. Friends, you know, if you are a born-again Christian, your family is other born-again Christians. Now, I guess they could have a family of ecumenical interfaith, but it's not the family of God. It is a man-centered earthly family, because God would never, ever put his stamp of approval on something that is not teaching doctrinal absolutes. He would never do that, because if he did, then he would be going against his own scripture. And then he would cease to be God, because that would mean that he has a flaw. He has sin. And the God of scripture is perfection and holy. And to claim that you have a family now actually will pull you away from your church family that you have been a part of for years. Now, unfortunately, I have known some people, and I knew this from someone who knew a few people that were going to be the leadership of Faith Walk, that they didn't even go to church. They had no church affiliation at all. Yet they were in leadership positions at Faith Walk. So, you know, ponder that for just a moment or two. Then it continues and it says the following. Through the months and years ahead, we continue to encourage each other, spur each other on to good works, and help each other grow in our love for God, others, and ourselves. Okay, there's a lot missing in there. There's a lot, it's very vague. And honestly, a New Ager could agree to what I just said. They could say, oh yeah, well, we want to encourage one another as New Agers. We want to spur each other on to good works as New Agers. Help each other grow in our love for God. Of course, that would be their New Age God, others and ourselves. You know, even agnostics could say this, they accept this statement. Now, the next thing is they promote, which I'm not surprised, they promote the Nicene Creed, which is a little bit longer, different, slightly different version of the Apostles' Creed. This is something I am very familiar with. I actually still have it memorized from growing up in the Church of Rome. And without chasing a rabbit, because I'm not going to do that, it'll take too much time to dissect it and go through it and show you what's missing and what's wrong with it. And the understanding about some of the statements that are not biblical. Now, does it have some truths in it? Yes, it does. And that's what causes people to stumble. There are some truths in it. But remember, it's not about if it has some truths contained in it. You ask yourself, is it all truth? Is it all biblical? And that's the question. And we can say no about the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Now it was formulated in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. It is considered liturgy. It was written by men and it's recited repetitively. It is holy, completely Catholic, but I know Protestant churches that do recite it. It doesn't contain, I'll just give you a couple of things. It does not mention the final authority and sufficiency of Scripture, and it does not say anything about Jesus' sinlessness. Now, there's other stuff too, but like I said, we're not going to go there. And then I want to read one thing out of it and just make one remark, and then we're going to move on. At the very end of it, it says, and I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, the word Catholic is lowercase c, but when I learned it and I read it while I was learning it, growing up in the Church of Rome, the word Catholic was capitalized because they were promoting the Church of Rome. Catholic, if you're not sure, is a word that means universal. And then it goes on to say, of course, and the Apostolic Church, because that was also capitalized because they believe in apostolic succession. Now, in this form of it here, they have Catholic in lowercase c, and they have apostolic in lowercase a. And they are, that way, the creed can be utilized by more than just the Church of Rome. Then it goes on to say, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. Now, I just read a little a little excerpt off of a website, and unfortunately it was a Bible church, and that saddens me because Prentice and I attend a Bible church, and we get saddened whenever we hear anything like, you know, we were heartbroken when many Baptists started drifting away from Scripture, and we feel the same about Bible churches. And the pastor was trying to explain away that you can read this, but it doesn't mean what it says. It doesn't mean what it sounds like. And it may be, and you know what? And if you're reading it and you don't believe that baptism is remission of sins, remits sins, then, you know, you could say that this is correct. But when I said it, it meant what I memorized. It meant I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. It meant infant baptism. And as an infant, when I was baptized by the priest, my sins were remitted. That's what it meant. So, you know, maybe in the original form in the Council of Nicaea, possibly that's not what it meant, but I can tell you that's what it meant to me. So, you know, when you read something like this, first of all, we shouldn't pray anything repetitively. That's scripture. It tells us never to do that as the heathen do. And then, the other thing is you ask yourself, what is missing in this repetitious Church of Rome prayer? And there's several things that are missing. Now, let me continue continuing on this rabbit trail here. Decollatus, it says the many colors of Christ. Now, what does that mean, the many colors of Christ? It doesn't mean just skin color, like ethnicity or culture. It means all of the different forms of Christianity. That's what it means. Not just ethnicity, not just culture, but it means anyone or any people group that claims and names the name of Jesus Christ in Christendom is included in the many colors of Christ, no matter who your Christ is or what your Christ is. I continue reading. A once-in-a-lifetime spiritual experience is what it says. And then it gives a little brief history. It says Decollatus has its root in the Cursillo movement, which began with the Catholic Church in Spain in 1949. Okay, we've already covered that. As the movement grew in popularity, it says, efforts were started to make the Cursillo experience available to all Christians. So there's your ecumenism, your interfaithism. That's why everything is vague and there are no doctrinal absolutes spoken about, discussed, ever. No theological absolutes at all. Then it says Decollatus began as an ecumenical form of the Cursillo method. Method and technique. Psychological method and technique. There is a Cursillo method. There is a template, and it is used by every spiritual renewal weekend. Then it continues, many of the Spanish traditions remain, but there is no direct affiliation with Cursillo. But the template is there. The foundation is there. The Spanish word Decollatus literally means of colors and refers to the many colors of God's love and grace through Christ. Now I'm going to transition over to another website that is promoting Decollatus, and it's called Welcome to the Muskegon Decollatus en Christ. And it is, it says, this is the official information website of the Decollatus en Cristo. And it's a doctrinal statement, Decollatus en Cristo. And it says Decollatus en Cristo is an autonomous functional structure with the express purpose of strengthening the desire for greater lay activity in Christian churches. Notice the generic term Christian churches. As an arm of the church supported by Christians from local church communities, the movement's twofold intent is to lay the essential foundation for a Christian life by calling persons to a renewed faith and to call persons to a conversion to Christ. It neither seeks church status nor does it offer the sacrament of baptism. Okay, so you have to ask yourself, how do they define a lot of this? How do they define, first of all, to call a person to a conversion to Christ? How can you cause or call someone to a conversion to Christ when you are not even sharing the biblical salvific understanding and message of the cross of Christ according to Scripture? So what kind of conversion are they promoting? It's an emotional conversion, the kind that fades and dissipates. I continue. It says, funded in the Curcio method. Friends, it is not a coincidence that they use the word method, because it is a method and a technique that has been there since the 1940s when Mr. Bonin, a psychologist, created the template that everyone is using today. Now, listen to the following. It subscribes to the Nicene Creed, or the Apostles' Creed, and welcomes all persons, and it has that in big, bold letters. So it's ecumenical. It's interfaith, seeking a deeper faith in Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? Which one? There's only one biblical Christ, and there are many unbiblical counterfeit Christ out there under the umbrella of Christianity. Then I continue reading. Its weekend activities are designed to reinforce individual commitment to Christ through piety, study, and action. It also promotes a repentant lifestyle. The movement operates under the authority of the control of the Muskegon Decalotes en Cristo Secretariat, located in Muskegon, Michigan, which reserve the right to authorize and control Decalotes en Cristo activities elsewhere. And that is the end of that resource. So I wanted to just show you that it is almost exactly the same information said in almost the same way as the other website that I shared with you. So there's a template even for the info that's put on websites for the individual Decalotes. Now, on another link for the Curcio de Decalotes en Cristo, it says the following little bit of information. It says, Cursilistas and Cursistas will explain that Decalotes is a retreat, a movement, and most important, a method of spirituality. Friends, it is no accident that they continue to use the word method, methods and techniques. Then they go on to give us a little bit of information about this particular Decalotes. And it says, in December of 1964, Curcio number 13 was held in Muskegon at Our Lady of Grace Church with Bill Wideman as rector. Catholics desiring to share their unique experience with their non-Catholic friends and clergy began sponsoring those of varied faiths 2 weekends. He says this began as on a very small scale and at a slow pace, but by the mid-70s, hundreds of men and women, lay people, and the clergy from virtually all major denominations had made a Curcio, struggling with the fact that the Curcio in the Muskegon area was no longer fulfilling its original purpose to the Catholic diocese, but at the same time believing in the interfaith experience that it had evolved. Decalotes en Cristo was born. It continues with the following. Decalotes was born in the spirit of interfaith communion of the love feast. It is important to realize that the Decalotes movement was born of love and not law. It sure wasn't born of God, I can tell you that, or of Scripture. And I read the following. God has blessed Decalotes with dedicated leadership, laity, and clergy, Protestant and Catholic, with requests from across the country desiring this interfaith experience. It is sure to continue to grow. Now I see that we have run out of time for our program today, so we will stop here and continue covering our investigation of Spiritual Renewal Weekends. We thank you for joining us, and we pray that you have a blessed day.